Hello, one and all. Steel Tyler Filipek here, bringing you more Story World design advice. That's right, it's another episode of Building a Better Story World. If you want to create stories that fire people's imaginations and make them want to revisit your narrative universe time and again, get settled because we're about to blast off. We're continuing our examination of advanced story world creation with the second part of our look at archetypes. You don't have to listen to either of these episodes in any order, and you don't have to model your protagonist off of these structures if you don't want to. Just know that these figures have existed for millennia because they're so powerfully linked with the human psyche. If you deviate, make sure you're doing so for a good reason. In the last episode, we talked about six specific archetypal characters and their journeys. These include the champion, a figure who fights for a cause and rallies a people to the side of righteousness or justice.
The price of freedom is high. It always has been. And it's a price I'm willing to pay. And if I'm the only one, then so be it.
The ruler, destined leaders who abrogate their own responsibility to serve the citizens of their nations, who in turn work together to build a stronger union.
Your Majesty, I think we have enough respect for one another personally to ask ourselves some of the bigger questions, woman to woman.
The outlaw. A kind of iconoclast who destroys the trappings of society and bucks against the injustices of fate, hypocrisy, and limitations.
Well, maybe when your mother's finished mourning your father, I'll keep her in black on your behalf. You think on that, boy?
The trickster, whose laughter and mockery reveal hidden truths about humankind and our mores.
Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education.
The every person, a character who goes by many names but always has one singular journey, to find happiness by embracing normalcy.
Hey, grab me a cold one out of the cooler.
You're up, little man. Hold the wheel.
Jeez, I wish I had me for a dad.
The explorer, the prototypical wanderer who seeks out truths in faraway lands before turning home to change the status quo.
No reservations.
If you were following along, some of you may have noted that none of these figures quite matched up with the story that you were telling. Fear not, we have another half dozen, pulled from marketing manuals, psychology, dramaturgy, and more. Take notes if you'd like, and see if your story syncs up here. The themes and journeys I detail, as well as the examples, would serve you well as a guide for how you may avoid the failures and replicate the successes of the past, all while bringing your own voice to classic tales. We're going to begin with a personal favorite of mine, the sage. This archetype is on a quest just like the explorer, but it's not one for truth, but fact. That is, the sage knows that the answers to the universe, be they scientific theorems or the harmony of body and soul in martial arts, can be anywhere, around the corner, hiding under a rock, in a strand of DNA, within the quietude of meditation, or under a magnifying glass. They are the thinkers, the seekers of concrete truth, those who wish to understand what is around them.
Bill Nye the Science Guy!
Bill Nye the Science Guy!
Bill! 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 Bill!
While traditional storytelling has this figure as the wise old man, sages are just as likely to be detectives.
Big deal, this money's mine. It doesn't prove anything.
Why don't you take a closer look at the one on top? Read what's written over Grant's head.
Veronica Mars is smarter than me.
Oh, you stop it.
Kung Fu Masters.
Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
And scientists who delve into riddles, clues, and the secrets of the universe.
Stephen Hawking!
The world's smartest man!
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see your utopia. But now I see it as more of a fruitopia.
They can be fighters or scholars, lovers or ascetics. What unites them is their belief that a system or reasoning, practice or education will lead them to some ultimate conclusion about the universe. Powering that is a need to understand, to know, and to share with the world.
Just once in a while, let us exalt the importance of ideas and information. Let us dream to the extent of saying that on a given Sunday night, a time normally occupied by Ed Sullivan is given over to a clinical survey on the state of American education.
Being brainy can have its downsides. Some sages self-isolate themselves from the world, or else lord their knowledge over the hoi polloi.
Fool of a took.
throw yourself in next time and rid us of your stupidity.
They may even get lost in their search for ever smaller refinements of truth, losing sight of their journey for the goals that are increasingly implacable to achieve.
Egon, this reminds me of the time you tried to drill a hole through your head. Remember that?
That would have worked if you hadn't stopped me.
Ultimately, the darkest sages are those who use their wisdom for hedonism, vanity, or power. They twist the foundations of the universe to grant them immortality, or powers that mankind was not meant to control.
The veil has opened, and we should not see beyond.
You could have a sage on your hand if you are working in a story that deals in uncovering mysteries, of course, but think also about the growth from neophyte to master.
Do you want to learn Kung Fu?
Yeah.
Then I am your master.
Okay.
Don't cry.
Okay.
Or the themes of reason, science, and skepticism.
Well, we used to look up in the sky and wonder at our place in the stars. Now we just look down and worry about our place in the dirt.
But ultimately, regardless of the story proper, sages are optimistic figures. They believe that they will succeed. It is simply a matter of finding the right sequence, the correct path, the vital clue. The truth will reveal itself through dedication and hard work. This is one of the many reasons why they are so popular. They have efficacy and an unshakable determination to figure out what's really going on, which makes them immensely likable to audiences, even if their manners can sometimes be improved.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor? Then who's vice president? Jerry Lewis.
In this, they develop their wisdom as much as their intellect. The ultimate arc for the sage is to search for understanding rather than accomplishment. The results they arrive at may not have been those that people expected, but that's where the sage's mind comes in. They recognize that the journey is as important, if not more so, than the arrival.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
A similarly trusting archetype that has become more popular in recent years is the figure of the innocent.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, and snap! The job's a game!
The innocent is trying to maintain a faith in nobility, purity, or goodness in the face of a damaged world. They are questing to return to the Garden of Eden, or to a primal state where humankind was honest and good. Sure, evil exists, but the innocent is certain that there is a place, somewhere in the universe, where we can begin again.
Life beats you up. You can either curl up in a ball and die, or you can stand up and say, we're different, and you can't break us.
Whereas other figures are subsumed into hypocrisy or corruption on such a quest, the innocent floats through the world on a journey for something. Love, or salvation, or peace, or honey.
Oh, bother. Oh, bother.
Oh, bother.
Oh, bother.
Oh.
What sets the innocent apart from other archetypes, indeed most protagonists, is that they don't really change. Their faith is so unshakable that instead, the world changes around them. This can be tricky to pull off because audiences subconsciously want to see the main character transform. The key, then, is to make sure that all of the other characters surrounding the innocent gain some pearl of wisdom or some insight into themselves. The arcs, then, are to be found in the supporting cast, who are moved by the innocent's dedication to whatever it is that they are searching for.
What are you all doing here?
We wanted to say thank you.
Thank you?
For everything you've done for us.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for you, we'd never have met.
You helped me pass my exam.
I would be permanently locked out of my house.
Innocents don't have dark forms like other archetypes, or at least not in the same way. The blind faith of an innocent can make them unable to see the flaws in their logic or their beliefs, which can bring about their downfall or that of an entire nation. Their lack of guile means that they can't act duplicitously, except maybe in a last moment of inspiration, the innocent won't ever waver from their journey.
No, she had to find it out for herself. Now those magic slippers will take you home in 2 seconds.
Oh, total two?
Total two.
If you're building a story world with the innocent, make sure that your character is sympathetic, that they do a lot, yes, and when they fail, it's understandable. You want your audiences to root for these figures, not roll their eyes at their naivete, so laughter, wisdom, and determination will also be relevant to your story.
They invited me and the ping pong team to visit the White House. So I went, again, and I met the President of the United States, again.
Now, I mentioned that the innocent might be on a quest for love, and that's true, but there's another figure that speaks directly to that journey. Love isn't a reflection of purity or simplicity. It is the goal of life itself for these figures. For these protagonists, love isn't a reflection of purity or simplicity. It is the goal of life itself. Be it in the form of platonic love, erotic love, familial love, or romantic love, these figures cannot rest until they feel the passion that they know exists somewhere in the world. These archetypes express the classic form of the lover.
I am someone who is looking for love. Real love. Ridiculous, inconvenient, consuming, can't live without each other love.
A lover's journey is familiar to anybody who has ever watched a rom-com, buddy cop flick, odd couple road trip, or family sitcom. The lover is on a quest to find passion in some form or another. They will have successes and failures, gaining insights into their paramours or the mindsets of those around them, but will struggle, sometimes hilariously, sometimes in heartbreaking fashion, because their journey cannot be complete until they understand themselves. The climax for their journey comes when they learn that it is not about the love that they receive, but the love that they give, for which they have been searching.
Well, Your Highness, I must say everything is going just swimmingly. I knew you had it in you.
I let her go.
Yes, yes. Splendid. You, what? How could you do that?
I had to.
Yes, but why?
Because I love her.
A journey of love may end in a sense of bittersweetness if the protagonist realizes that they cannot find love with one person, but these still tend to be happy endings as the characters gain some insight into themselves, literally learning to love the person who they are.
I mean, yeah, okay. So Michelle and I did make up some lame story. We only did it because we wanted you to treat us like human beings. But you know what I finally realized? I don't care if you like us, because we don't like you. You're a bad person with an ugly heart, and we don't give a flying f*** what you think.
Darker versions of the lover have them losing a sense of identity while in pursuit of love. They become stalkers, controllers, or people who are so desperate to please somebody else that they lose any sense of who they are.
Single, white, female. Living with a roommate can be murder.
Major themes to love are fairly obvious. Passion, misunderstanding, inner growth. But just as important is the duality of fate and free will. Is there only one person out there for you? Or can you find the right one anywhere? If you're working in this vein, you might have your characters wrestle with the meaning of perfection, or rather imperfection, in relationships.
You're not perfect, sport. Let me save you the suspense. This girl you met, she isn't perfect either. But the question is whether or not you're perfect for each other.
Or coming to grips with the frailties and failures of those who we love, as well as concepts of family, that we are stuck with them, or that we can choose who is a part of them.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody
gets left behind.
Or forgotten.
Make sure to include all aspects of love in your work. Something that's strictly about erotic love, romantic love, love of self, or love of family will come across as banal. But add them all together, and you'll wind up with something special.
Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around.
Similar to, but distinct from, the lover is a figure that has many names. The matriarch, the paterfamilias, the sentinel, and the teacher. We're going to go with caregiver, because that covers a lot of ground. These characters are the nurturers of narrative universes. They're not wise old men who teach martial arts on hilltops, but the mentors.
It's not about winning, Gordon, it never was. Just show them how to play, show them how to have fun. Teach them to fly.
Parents.
What do we do?
You make every shot count.
Bodyguards.
Come with me if you want to live.
And mama bears.
Get away from her, you b-.
Their motivation is what separates them from champions and sages. Caregivers are guides for a group of people, motivated by love and altruism, who help their charges reach their potential before sending them out into the world.
All right, Sam, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back on my own word just this once and let you back into my school. But you understand this, boy. You're not going to get a moment's rest. I'm going to be on your case every minute.
They're not there to cure injustices or to seek out a cure for cancer. They're preparing the future fighters and scientists of the world who will do just that.
You make sure
they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
This doesn't mean that caregivers are passive or calm or even nice. They can be a grim marshal or a demanding professor or a cynical coach. Their demands might seem unreasonable, but their motivations make them likable. They are trying their best to show love for those under their care, even if that is sometimes tough love.
So now you're a train wreck. Well, congratulations. But you stride into my office and tell me that it's my fault? Well then, I have something to say to you. Grow up.
Caregivers can grow corrupted, however. One of the major ways this happens is if they don't let go of those that they're guiding. They become smotherers, playing the role of the martyr so that people never leave them. Guilt becomes a major motivating factor if they feel ingratitude, turning their selfless quest to raise the leaders of tomorrow into a pity party where their deeds must be acknowledged.
Should I ask Leonard to bring over your homework?
I don't have homework. I'm a grown man with a master's degree in engineering.
Excuse me, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Or perhaps the inverse, in which the caregiver's tough love goes too far, and their child feels neglected, even if it teaches them a valuable lesson.
Did I ever tell you to eat up, go to bed, wash your ears, do your homework? No, I respected your privacy, and I taught you self-reliance.
What you taught me was that I was less important to you than people who'd been dead for 500 years in another country.
Other themes that you can play with in caregiver stories are development, the student becoming the master, or the master learning from the student, and all things wrapped around education, practice, fostering good manners, and being a productive member of society, which sometimes means going against the norm in order to do what is right or to be true to oneself, despite fear.
Dark and difficult times lie ahead. Soon we must all face the choice between what is right and what is easy.
These are popular in middle grade and YA fiction, as well as all media aimed at younger audiences, because these people are surrounded by caregivers, some better than others.
That is the second time you have spoken out of turn, Miss Granger. Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
Children intrinsically understand what separates noble and ignoble mentors, so make sure to do your research when you create such work.
Captain Schaub, at your service.
He's lying. He's Count Olaf.
Creation is the name of the game for our penultimate archetype, or rather, it's just their name, the Creator. Also known as the Artisan or the Dreamer, this character draws inspiration from the world and then literally draws it on a piece of paper, or crafts poetry to express the inexpressible, or captures the beauty of movement in a photograph. They express themes of the responsibility of talent.
We are painters, Jackson. We don't have any money. We don't get by. We struggle. But you are a great artist. I believe in Jackson Pollock.
The pressure to perform.
5, 6, and. Not quite my tempo.
And making it, faking it, or breaking it.
I had with your no-talent wannabe gangster ass. You want to prove once for all that I'm better than you? Strap up!
Bring it on, Big Brother Tin Man.
This is all captured in the dichotomy and paradox of the Creator. They want to convey what cannot be conveyed, and so are pushed to try to replicate it in some abstraction. This requires imagination, practice, and execution.
Learning basic principles of magic is like learning chords on a guitar. Once you know a few simple principles, you can build your whole magic routine.
The journey of the Creator is one that sees them move from inspiration to revelation, sometimes receiving accolades and sometimes just being satisfied in a job well done. Their motivations can range from creating art for its own sake, trying to find meaning in their own work, experimenting in order to discover a new way to tell stories, or trying to become the best, in whatever fashion that means to them.
No sooner did the gavel come down to mark the sale of Banksy's Girl with Balloon for a record $1.4 million, did the picture start to slip out of its frame into shreds below?
One thing they can't be motivated by is accumulation. Be it in the form of wealth, awards, attention, or hedonistic pleasures, the Creator's purpose is to express. Corrupted examples of this figure can't handle the pressure and turn to addiction to quiet their demons, or else subsume into vanity, losing the purpose of their journey and sometimes their very souls.
But you've got to go on.
Slag off.
You've changed, man. It used to be about the music.
I said slag off.
The journey of redemption from selling out is a classic of the form, however. Even if you have a creator who starts out in a dark place, they may be able to redeem themselves if they can get back to what inspired them in the first place.
I'm trying to be strong for my squad, okay? That's what a captain does.
Well, I'm a captain too, you know. And I'm trying to make it right.
You want to make it right? Then when you go to Nationals, bring it.
Money, blue ribbons, and appreciation are all byproducts of the ultimate goal, to create in such a way that people are inspired, even if people means a single person.
Trust in yourself and you can achieve anything.
You know, if we get through to just that one little girl, it'll all be worth it.
Other plots include jealousy of the talent of others.
These were first and only drafts of music. But they showed no corrections of any kind. Not one.
Learning to be empowered through expression.
I pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance.
To the band.
And of course, setting up a gig that will save an orphanage, charity, theater, or some other organization via the power of art.
Oh, it's about getting the Muppets back together again to stop an evil oil baron from demolishing the old studio.
Fozzie, did you even watch our last film?
We can get the band back together.
Get the band back together?
Uh-huh.
Get the...
I want to call a truce, all right? We want you with us, man. Look, if they tear down Miracles, that's our neighborhood. Don't you see, man? They'll redevelop us right out of existence.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I could go on, but we have one more archetype to get to before we wrap for the day. Most of the archetypes we have dealt with have goals that range from embracing the world, inspiring the world, understanding the world, or even breaking the world.
John baptized with water and they killed him. Now I baptize with fire.
Our final figure goes beyond that. Indeed, they go beyond the world itself. These people are attuned to another realm and have somehow captured the essence of that plane so as to transmute the very fabric of this one. May I introduce the magician.
This school exists to reveal your innate abilities and hone them to the highest degree.
Are you guys trying to take over the world, or?
We don't teach that, but give it a go.
Magicians aren't always wizards, though there are a fair amount of those figures in the magician's ranks.
I am Gandalf the White. And I come back to you now. At the turn of the tide.
What magicians are really after is change. The rules don't apply to them. But not just because they reject order like the outlaw. Instead, the magician has a direct line to some form of power that allows them to see or do things that other people think are impossible.
The car of tomorrow. Today.
Whoa! Whoa.
Looks like he's going 90 miles per hour.
And you know who's
going
to build these cars? We are.
You're more than familiar with them in the real world and in real brands.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
But I thought that we at least could address the false perception that people had that an electric car had to be ugly and slow and boring like a golf cart.
Walt was not necessarily sentimental or nostalgic. He was always looking forward, looking ahead. What can I do next?
Chief among them is the Walt Disney Company. But every app that is about disrupting a supply chain or bringing a new product to market or inventing something that changes the world are all crafted by those who have both the capability of looking beyond what is here and the chutzpah to bring it across the veil of reality.
All kinds of people on all kinds of teams use Slack to do amazing things.
Magician narratives can be a little bit of a grab bag, since they embrace so many elements of other narratives. These figures can be caregivers that teach people the mysteries of the universe.
But you know, happiness can be found even in the darkest of times, if one only remembers to turn on the light.
Or creators that care more about discovery than art.
Think about it, Jack. What does 20,000 feet give you?
Less turbulence.
Right, because it's above the weather. Jack, we want to fly above the weather.
They may even be a little like the every person in that they wish to gain acceptance from others, though typically their journeys are about emerging into their true selves.
Salem, what do I do?
Well, hiring a hitman is prohibitively expensive. So I guess you could just wait for her to outgrow this crush on Harvey.
Why wait when one is a witch? I can use magic to make her grow up.
You may note the one theme that runs through all of these figures, however. The concept of transformation. The world isn't as efficient as it could be, or it's not as beautiful, or it's not as stable. The magician uses their insights or their capability of thinking outside the box to create a revolution in thought, word, deed, or the very substance of matter.
So we at Alastor are convinced that the bromine flow battery is the enabling technology for a fully decarbonized electricity supply. And this will change the world.
Magicians quickly become corrupted by this power if they're not too careful. There are any number of dark wizards and evil witches that use their powers not to spark a revolution in thinking, but to seek out revenge.
Before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she shall prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die.
Or to control someone.
Please bring him back, please.
Sarah, go back to your room. Play with your toys and your costumes. Forget about the baby.
Or for their own personal satisfaction.
I'm worried about Andrew.
Listen to me. We can't screw around with this. It's too dangerous. Andrew, it's not a game.
Andrew!
Stop this right now!
If this sounds familiar or interesting, you should play with a certain set of themes when working with magician narratives. Hidden knowledge that humankind was not meant to know. The dangers of absolute power. The responsibilities of efficacy. You can find these in A Wizard of Earthsea, The Cthulhu Mythos, and the works of Hayao Miyazaki.
Airplanes are not tools for war. They are not for making money. Airplanes are beautiful dreams. Engineers turn dreams into reality.
Yes!
What do you bring to the table with the magician? What are your characters trying to transform? What are you trying to transform? You may be a disruptor yourself. One who is going to take this archetype or others, run it through the ringer, and pull out something completely different on the other side.
Once you free your mind about the concept of harmony and of music being correct, you can do whatever you want. So nobody told me what to do, and there was no preconception of what to do.
I'll leave that to you, however. As for me, well, I brought you to the end of our overview of archetypes. That's not the final end, of course. You may have found some structure that inspires you to re-examine your protagonist, or you may now know where you want to buck tradition and build something new. You may have even been inspired to write a story with the characters and themes I mentioned. Don't sit on your hands. Get to it. I want to see how these classics have motivated you to construct or deconstruct a story. If you want to know more about any of these figures, fear not. We are going to be delving into each of them in more detail over the course of future episodes. You'll get a full, detailed guide in how to build these stories, with all sorts of options thrown in along the way so that you can mix and match to your heart's content. For now, don't forget to subscribe to us, download past episodes, and check out more content on steelphilippek.com. You can find us on Twitter at buildingabsw or at Words of Steel. Tune in next time as we investigate more advanced story creation content. What are we covering? You'll just have to wait and see. Until then, this is Steel Philippek, signing off. Building a Better Story World is written, produced, recorded, and sound engineered by Steel Tyler Philippek. The theme song, Asia, is by Ilya Marfin via icons8.com. All narrative clips are used under the Fair Use Doctrine, as defined by Title 17 of the United States Code, subsection 107, in that they are used for nonprofit educational work for the purpose of analysis, have been transformed from their initial records by audio engineering for podcasting, and are not substantive of the entire work or function as a direct market substitute. Audio effects are provided by freesound.org under the Creative Commons license. If you feel that this production has unfairly used a piece of audio to which you own the rights, please contact helmstarmedia@gmail.com.